Hey, today's daf is daf Zayin of Maseches Megillah. Daf Zayin is a loaded daf. Lots of very, very important sugyas on daf Zayin. First, the Gemara is going to discuss what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas about whether Purim should be celebrated, Megillah should be read in Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, how we see anything from the Psukim one way or the other. Then the Gemara is going to talk about Megillas Esther and how Esther wanted her story to be written in a Sefer, what the hesitation of the Chachamim was, and how it relates to how many times one is allowed to write down the story of Amalek. And then the Gemara tells us in that context which Sfarim are Metamei Yasiyadayim, which Sfarim have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, and the Gemara is going to quote seven different Shittos about how we know that Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to start getting into the Mitzvos Hayom of Purim. It's going to talk about Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levyonim, Chai V'Nishlu V'Sumei B'Puria. It's going to talk about Su'udas Purim that has to be done at daytime and not at nighttime. And then the Mishnah Torah, the first Mishnah Torah, the bottom of Amud Beis, is going to have a Machlokas whether one is allowed to do Malacha in food preparation, machshirei ochel nefesh, preparing for food preparation, doing malacha and preparing for food preparation on Yom Tov. And then the next Mishnah we're going to talk about whether someone who's chayiv kares has to still pay for any financial obligations that he incurs while doing the avera for which he's chayiv kares. So do we say, no, come lebi rabine, he's already getting kares, he's already getting the worst avera. And the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit about that, whether Malkus paters you from kares in the first place. So that is the array of topics that we're going to cover in today's daf. But we left off on the bottom of daf Vav Amud Beis at Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we had a machlokas, when do you read the Megillah in a year that has two Adars? Do you read it in Adar Rishon or in Adar Sheni? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Mikra Chadarshu. Both opinions darshan the same pasuk. B'chol Shana V'Shana. The pasuk says, B'chol Shana V'Shana. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Sama B'chol Shana V'Shana, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana, Adar Samach L'Shvat, Afkan Adar Samach L'Shvat. So Rabbi Lazar says that it's B'chol Shana V'Shana. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi learns that just like each and every other year, you lay in the Megillah in the Adar that comes right after Shvat. So in a year that has two Adars, you also lay in the Adar that comes right after Shvat. That's Adar Rishon. Rabbi Shimon Leil Sava, no, B'chol Shana V'Shana, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana, Adar Samach L'Nisan, Afkan Adar Samach L'Nisan. It's like every year, but it's like every year in a different way. Every year you lay in the Megillah in the month before Nisan. So in a year that has two Adars, you should also lay in the month before Nisan, which happens to be Adar Beis. So Bishlam Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Mistavra Taima. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi makes a lot of sense. He would read in Adar Rishon because we have a general principle that in ma'avirun al mitzvos, that you're not allowed to pass up the opportunity to do a mitzvah, so you got to do the mitzvah right away. So the first opportunity is Adar Rishon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel my time. But why would Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say to dafka lay in the Megillah in Adar Beis? So I'm Rabbi Tavi. Time to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel mismach ku'ulu l'gu'ula adif. The reason for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is that he holds it's better to juxtapose the two gu'ulos, the gu'ula of Purim and the gu'ula of Pesach. So we want to read about the gu'ula of Purim right before we celebrate the gu'ula of Pesach. Rabbi Elazar Amar, time to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel nehacha. He says no. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel svaras from the following. The chsiv pasuk says the kayim is igeres haPurim hazos hashenis. What does it say? Hashenis for Vitzrach Lemechle. That's Hashenis must come teach me that we celebrate it in the second possible month in Adar Beis. Now, why do I need two drushes? Why do I need Hashenis and B'kol Shana V'Shana? Vitzrach Lemechle Hashenis Vitzrach Lemechle B'kol Shana V'Shana. We need both. The Imi B'kol Shana V'Shana Avamini Kikushyan. If it only would have said B'kol Shana V'Shana, I would have thought, like we asked before, that maybe it should be like every year and that you read it the month after Shvat, not the month before Nisan. So Kamash Malan Hashenis. That's why Hashenis tells me, no, you read it in the second of the 2 months. V'yashmin Hashenis. And if I only would have had Hashenis, I would say, yeah, Hava Amina B'tchila B'rishon U'B'sheni. I would have thought, yes, you read it in the second month, and also the first month. You read it in both Adars. So Kamash Malan B'kol Shana V'Shana. That's why he tells me B'kol Shana V'Shana, that just like each and every year, you only read the Megillah once. So over here also, you only read the Megillah once. You don't read the Megillah twice. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, Hay Hashenis my Avodah. What does Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi do with the word Hashenis? Mibay Leilich Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Adam Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda B'tchilu Kavu B'Shushan Ulu B'Sof B'Kol Olam Kulo. That originally, in the original year that they were Koveya, Kriyas HaMegillah, they were only Koveya, the Takana, in the town of Shushan. But then ultimately, the second time around, they were Koveya to read the Megillah everywhere in the entire Jewish world. So that's what Hashenis is all about. Amr of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Sholcholam Esther L'Chacham Kavuni L'Doros. That Esther sent a message to the Chachamim that I want you to write my story down for all future generations. Shalchula, so they send a message to her, Kina Atmaras Alena Lubenu Umos. That's gonna bring suspicion and jealousy from the other nations. We're gonna tell the story about how the Jews were victorious over the Goyim. That's not gonna play well in the media. So Shalchulahem, so she sent back to them, Kvark Suvani al Divrayam Lamalchi Madai Paras. Now don't you realize I'm in their history books anyway. It's already a chapter in their own history books. So don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about how it's gonna play, it's already out there. That's the Pashup Shah of the Gemara. The Bar Yosef has a very interesting take on this. He says, no, you know what's happening in this conversation? Esther says, write down my story. The Chum say, if we write down your story the way it really happened, it would be terrible for us, because Achashverosh is still a king. And you know, we're going to see many, many Gemaras in this Masechta where we learn that Achashverosh was every bit as evil as Haman was. So if we tell about how horrible Achashverosh was, and we tell the whole story about the evils of Achashverosh, it's not going to be good for us. So Esther's response is, Kfar Ksuva Ani Al Divrei Hayom Malchi Madei Paras. No, don't tell how horrible Achashverosh was. Look in their textbooks, look in the government-mandated textbooks, and see what you find. They tell the story without anything about how Achashverosh was so terrible. We could write the story and finesse it in that way also. We could write the story in such a way where we don't focus on how terrible Achashverosh was, and we could only drop hints to it here and there, and no one will know the difference. And that way, the guy won't know the difference. They won't know, they won't realize that we're really bad-mouthing Achashverosh and telling what an evil person really was. That will be left for the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's why you're going to be able to write it down. That's how the Bar Yosef understands this conversation. That's why when you read the Megillah, Achashverosh appears to be clueless of the whole thing. But he'd have to be a buffoon, he'd have to be a moron to be clueless of the whole thing. What kind of king, when someone says, oh, I'd like to commit genocide, would you mind, king? And he says, oh, sure, no problem, without asking, who do you want to commit genocide against? What are these people? Obviously he knew who it was. But the Megillah didn't write that, because that would have looked very terrible for Achashverosh, and in turn would have been very bad for Klal Yisrael. Rav Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, Masnu B'Kulei Seder Moed, Masnu, Rav Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, taught, and B'Kulei Seder Moed, Kol Ki Aizuga, Chilufei Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'el Rabbi Yonasan. Throughout Seder Moed, whenever you have that group of Rabbanim, we trade out Rabbi Yochanan for Rabbi Yonasan instead, and they taught the following. Shalcha L'Mesra L'Cham K'sfuni L'Davos. Esther sent a message to L'Cham, I want you to write down my book for all future generations. Sholchula, they sent a message back to her. Halok safti lach shileshim. No, the story of Amalek is already written 3 times. Shileshim v'lo ribeim. And we learn from there, you're only allowed to write it 3 times. You're not allowed to write it 4 times. The story is in Shemos of Amalek, and we learn about Amalek again in Sefer Devarim, and again in Sefer Shmuel. So we can't have a whole other story about Amalek. Until they found the pasuk in the Torah, Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer. And they dashed, Ksov Zos, Mashakasav Kadab Mishnah Torah. Ksov Zos refers to what it says in Chumash, both places in Chumash, both in Shmos and in Devarim. Zikaron Mashakasav Neviim. Zikaron refers to what it says in the Neviim. Basefer Mashakasav Megillah. And Basefer is a reference to what it says in the Megillah. That the Megillah can be written down as well. That's when we learn that the Megillah is allowed to be written down as well. So says the Gemara. I'm sorry. So there is a discussion in the poskim about the following issue: can one read the Megillah as a kiyum of the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? The Ramban writes on the pasuk Zachar es asher asa lecha Amalek. That he writes on the Drash Chal Zachar Bepeh, that what is this Zechira Bepeh? Does it just mean that you should read Parsha Samalik B'tzibur? That would be a mocker in the Torah for Parsha Zachar that we read during Chodesh Adar, and it would be a smach for Mikra Megillah in the Torah, says the Ramban. The Ramban makes it sound like reading Kriyas HaMegillah might be a kiyum of Zechira Samalik. The Achronim use this to explain the Shita of the Bahag. Tosos and Abdalid quote the Shita of the Bahag that the Chiyuv of women in Mikra Megillah is different than the Chiyuv of men in Mikra Megillah. That the Chiyuv of men in Mikra Megillah is a Chiyuv of Kriya, whereas the Chiyuv of women in Mikra Megillah is a Chiyuv of Shmiya. Men have to read the Megillah, and when men hear the Megillah, it's their only Yotzi because it's Shomea Ke'one, it's like they're reading it. Women don't have to even be like they're reading it. Women just have to hear it. Their only Chiyuv is to hear it. So what does that mean, Chiyuv Kriya versus Chiyuv Shmiya? So the Bahag would explain, women can't, and that's why the Bahag says women can't be Motzi men, they have a different Chiyuv, they have a lower level double chiyuv. So according to this, we could understand that the gather of the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is Zechiras Ma'isa Amalek, and which is like a fulfillment of Kriyas Zachar. And therefore, just like Zechiras Ma'isa Amalek, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, is something that only men are chayiv in and not women, so that element of Mikra Megillah is something that only men are going to be chayiv in, not women. That's what it means, women are only chayiv in Shmiah. Women are chayiv in the Persumi Nisa element of telling the Purim story, but they're not chayiv in the Kriya of Zechiras Amalek. So that, but men are chayiv in both elements. So that's how the Avnei Nezer explains the Shita of the Bahag, that men are chayiv in Kriya, and women are only chayiv in Shmiah. So we're holding now about seven lines before the lines get wide on Zayin and Aleph. So says the Gemara Kitana'i, that it's this issue of whether you can read this pasuk to tell you that you're allowed to write down the Megillah is actually Machlokas Tanayim. Ksov Zos, Masha Kasav Kan. Ksov Zos refers to what it says in the Chumash, that both in Shemos and in Devarim, it says about Zechiras Amalek, so you can write that down. Zikaron, Masha Kasav, sorry. Kan is just in Shemos. Zikaron mashkas Mishnah Torah. Zikaron refers to what it says in Devar. Basefer mashkas Benavim. Basefer refers to what it says in Sefer Shmuel. Div Rabbi Yeshua. So then there's no word in the pasuk to tell me that you're allowed to write down the Megillah. Rav Lazar Madai, Omer Rav Lazar Madai says, no, Ksov Zos mashkas Kan ube Mishnah Torah. Ksov Zos teaches me what it says in Shemos and in Devar. Zikaron mashkas Benavim. Zikaron is what it says in the Nevi'im. Basefer mashkas Benavim. Basefer teaches me that you can write down the story of the Megillah. So good. So that's how they knew that they were allowed to write down the Megillah when Esther requested that her story be written down. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel, Esther ain't a metame yadayim. The book of Esther is not metame yadayim. The book of Esther does not cause one's hands to become tame. Why would any book cause one's hands to become tame? So the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Yudalad Amar Aleph explains that the chamur gozer on Sifrei Hakodesh, that when you touch it, your hands will become tame, because they were worried that otherwise people would store Sifrei HaKodesh near food, and achbarim would get to it, mice and things like that, rodents would get to it. So they didn't want people to keep the Sifrei HaKodesh near food. So they said, if you touch it, your hands are going to become tame, and then you're going to touch the food, it's going to be metame the food. So you don't want to keep it anywhere near anything that you're afraid of being metame. You certainly don't want to be metame your food. So that's why they made this gezerah that it's metame yadayim. But that's only for Sifrei HaKodesh, for Kisvei HaKodesh, for the Chavdalet Sifrei Tanakh. So this opinion says Esther doesn't count as that. Esther is not a real Sefer Tanakh. It's not Metame Yasi Yadayim. So the Gemara says, Lememra, the Sofer Shmuel, Esther Lav Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. What does that mean, that Esther was not written Baruch HaKodesh? Is that really what you mean? Vamar Shmuel, Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Shmuel teaches us that Esther was written with Baruch HaKodesh. So says Gemara, it was, but Nemra Likros, Velo Nemra Lichtov. It was written Baruch HaKodesh, but only to be read. It was never meant to be, it wasn't written Baruch HaKodesh to be written down. It wasn't written, it wasn't a book that was written for the sake of being included in Sifrei Tanakh, just a mitzvah's kriya. So that's what it sounds like, that it didn't have to be written down, it was just to be read. How do you read something that's not written down? So it sounds like you read it al peh. So Tosfos raises the question on the top, mashma disavar demutal lekros al peh. Sounds like you're allowed to read Esther al peh. V'kasha dehechi palag al stam mishnah del kamon perek beis, detani kar al peh lo yotza. We're going to have a stam mishnah later on, it's going to say beferish. You're not yotzei when you read Esther al peh. So how could it be that over here we're saying that you're supposed to read Esther al peh, that it's okay to read Esther al peh? And not only that, Tosfos says, Rav holds that you have to write it like a regular sefer, where you sew it with the same way you would sew any scroll that's Kisvei HaKodesh. Rav Yochanan Amar Demakar Ben Aksum Lo Yatzal Chein Nira Lefarish. What it means is that it wasn't at the time that it was written, it wasn't written Baruch HaKodesh, but midrabanan, it's still supposed to be written. So there was no Baruch HaKodesh to demand that it be written, but it was din derabanan that they do taka write it down, and that's why it can't be read al peh. It actually has to be written down at least on a derabanan level. Okay, Tos discusses it further as well. But back in the Gemara, second medium-sized line, Meisvei Ramei Rama Kohelis Sein Metame Yisidayim. Ramei says Kohelis is not metame the hands. Machlokas b'shir shirim, and there's machlokas where the shir shirim is metame the hands. Rabbi Yosi Yomer shir shirim metame Yisidayim. Machlokas b'kohelis shir shirim is metame your hands. It's machlokas b'kohelis. Rabbi Shimon Yomer Kohelis Mikuli B'sham. Shammai Mechumir Beis Hillel. The Kohelis is one of the leniencies of Beis Shammai and the stringencies of Beis Hillel. It's like this old Perek Maseches Idios that lists off all the times that Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel is Machmir. Aval Rus v'Shirashim v'Esther Metamei Siyadayim. But Rus, Shirashim, and Esther are Metamei Siyadayim. So the bottom line is, it says that Esther is Metamei Siyadayim. So how can you say that Esther is not Metamei Yadayim? How could Rabbi Dor Shmuel say Esther is not Metamei Yadayim? So you say, Huda Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Dor Shmuel must assume, like the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua holds that Esther is not Metamei Yadayim. So that's why it works out. Rabbi Yeshua said previously, he's the one that Darshan, Ksov Zosi Karim Basefer, that there's no room for Megillas Esther in that pasuk. Ksov Zosi Karim Basefer allows you to write down Amalek in Shemos, Amalek in Devarim, and Amalek in Shmuel, but doesn't leave any room for Esther. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Asi Yomar Kohelas, ain't Metamei Yadayim in Ishei Chachmaso Shel Shlomi. Kohelas is not Metamei Yadayim because all it is the wisdom of Shlomo. Amar Lo V'Chizub L'Vad Amru. What is it? Amar, is that the only thing he said? Ba'alok Var Nemar, Vayidaber Shlosh Salaf Mashal. Shlomo Melech wrote a lot of things. He said a lot of books. It's not just Kohelas. He had 3,000 Mashalim. Va'omer Al Tosef Al Devarav. My Va'omer, what's the extra Va'omer? V'chitei Mamei Martuva Amar, Di'bay Yichtiv, Di'bay Lo Yichtiv, Tashma Al Tosef. If you're going to say that he said a lot of things, and if we want, we can write it, and if we don't want, we don't have to write it. And that which he wrote, Mishalos Bialma, though that's all they are, Mishalos Bialma, they weren't from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it says, Al Tosef Al Dvar, that you're not allowed to add to them. So it must be that those also were Beruach HaKodesh, that it was all Beruach HaKodesh, what Shlomo HaMelech was saying. It wasn't Stam Chachmaso Shel Shlomo. Tanya, Reb Lozer Omer. So now we're going to have 7 opinions of how we know that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh. So first opinion, Reb Lozer Omer, Esther Baruch HaKodesh Namar Shnemar Vayomer Haman Belibo. Because the Megillah reports what Haman was thinking. How can the Megillah report what Haman was thinking? Whoever wrote the Megillah must have had Baruch HaKodesh. Rabbi Akiva Omer, second opinion, Esther Baruch HaKodesh Namar Shnemar Vati Esther Nosischein Beine Kol Roeha. It doesn't only report what Haman was thinking, it reports what everyone was thinking. That everyone liked Esther. Everyone was, she found Chain with everyone. She was someone that everyone just seemed to like. So that's reporting what everyone was thinking. So obviously it's Ruach HaKodesh. Third opinion of Meir Omer, Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemer Shnemer Vayivada Adavar LeMordechai, that the matter became known to Mordechai. So you see who told Mordechai, it must be the Ruach HaKodesh told Mordechai. So you see that Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh, so Esther was with Ruach HaKodesh. Fourth opinion, Rabbi Yossi ben Drumaskis Omer, Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemer Shnemer Uvavizo Lo Shalchu Es Yadam, that the Jewish people everywhere didn't take any of the spoils. Well, how would whoever wrote the Megillah be able to report on what the Jewish people everywhere did? You could report on what you saw in front of you, but to report it everywhere, that has to be Ruach HaKodesh. Amar Shmuel says, I would have a fifth opinion. I know that these are all Tanaim that are arguing, and maybe I shouldn't get involved in Machlokas Tanaim, but if I would have been involved in that discussion of the Tanaim, Hava Amina Milsa Da'adifa Mikulu, I would have had a better suggestion to prove that Esther was written with Ruach Kodesh, Shenemar, Kimu V'Kiblu. Pasuk says, Kimu V'Kiblu, Kimu L'Mala, Mesh Kiblu L'Mata, that they're Mekayim L'Mala, they were Mekayim L'Mala, meaning up in Shemayim, that which we were Mekabel down here to do, it was approved up in Shemayim. How would you ever know what was approved up in Shemayim without a sense of Ruach HaKodesh? Amar Rava, and Rava comments about that last comment of Shmuel, L'kulu islu pircha, l'var mid Shmuel, d'lesle pircha. All of these opinions, there's some sort of question, there's some sort of pircha you could ask on it, except for Shmuel. There's no pircha that you could ask on Shmuel. Shmuel's shita seems perfect. What's the pircha you could ask on them? Rabbi Lazar svaruhu, d'lavi inish, t'chashu l'malka, kavasei. Rabbi Lazar said that it was about Haman thinking something in his heart, thinking that, oh, who does the king want to honor more than me? Well, of course that's what he thought. He's a Balgaiva. That's what a Balgaiva always thinks. He was the second most important person to the Melech, so of course that's what he's going to think. It's not Ruach HaKodesh, it's common sense that that's what Haman was thinking. So v'haiki kamafish tuva mamra daitid nafshik amar. So he just thought on his own that's what Haman must have been thinking. It's Rabbi Akiva, and what about Rabbi Akiva's opinion? Well, Dimlok, what's the pirch on that? Dimlok Prablaza, Dimlok Lamech Kalach Vechad, Nimus Aloku Maso. Maybe she found chen in everyone's eyes because everyone thought she was one of those had a multicultural look to her that everyone couldn't tell what is she? Is she African? Is she Asian? Is she European? Is she she had that look that could have gone either way. So everyone saw her and everyone saw themselves in her. So that's why, of course, she is Nosei Chaim, because everyone likes their own kind. V'had Rabbi Meir, Dilma Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and Rabbi Meir's sheet is not so strong, because you could ask based on Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Dar Bixen V'Sarah Shnei Tashimayu. What do you mean? Just because Mordechai knew it means he had Ruach Kodesh? No, Bixen and Sarah were there was Tarshim, and therefore he overheard Bixen and Sarah talking, and he overheard their language, and that's what he found out. V'had Rabbi Yossi ben Dramaskis, Dilma Pristiki Shadur, and that which Rabbi Yossi ben Dramaskis said, he was the one that said that Esther must have been Ruach Kodesh, because it says that the Jewish people didn't take any of the spoils. Maybe there were messages sent, and some sort of primitive Twitter where word got across the world very quickly what the Jewish people and how the Jewish people were behaving in all the communities. But the Shmuel vade lasle pircha. But there's no pircha on Shmuel. Shmuel's opinion was that kimu lemala mashkiblu lemata. There's no Twitter from Shemaim, so that there's no pircha on. So Amar Ravina, as Ravina comments, haynu damriin shi tava chada pilpalta charifta mimalit sani kari. That sometimes one sharp pepper is better than a whole bunch of gourds and a whole bunch of melons. Meaning one sharp amora will be better than all the shittos of the Tanaim. So Tosus points out over here, v'kasha dil Shmuel milak a pircha. Really, you can't think of a pircha and Shmuel shita. The Rav Gufeyu dam perk Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel's pasuk of Kimu v'Kiblu is already used in Maseches Shabbos to teach us that Klal Yisrael is mekabel the Torah again at the time of Purim. So if we already use it for another drasha, shouldn't that be Pirchan Shmuel? How can you use this for a drasha to teach us that Esther is Baruch HaKodesh? We already use this for a drasha to tell me that there was a new Kabbalah Satorah. So v'yesh lamed olachashav hai pircha. That's not considered a pircha. Tashap shamin mina tarti. That pircha would just tell me that there's another drasha you could also learn from this pasuk. All the pirchas on the Tanaim were that their very drasha didn't make sense. So this pircha would not have been such a big pircha on Shmuel, because it doesn't call into question his very drasha. It only calls into question whether that's the only drasha to be made from the pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Vayter of Yosef Amehacha, a sixth opinion." That these days of Purim are always going to be celebrated amongst the Jewish people. How would you know the future? Must be Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amehacha, seventh opinion. V'zichrom lo Yosef Mizaram, that the memory of it is not going to ever be taken away from the Jewish people, from their offspring. So again, how could you tell the future? You can only know that if it's Yav Ruach HaKodesh. Good, Matanos Levyonim. We mentioned Matanos Levyonim in the Mishnah. The context we mentioned Matanos Levyonim is we spoke about how Ein Bein Adarishal Adarsheni, except for Mikra Megillah Matanos Levyonim. And we pointed out Matanos Levyonim always goes together with Mikra Megillah, because the Einayim Shal Aniyim are no sense to Mikra Megillah. The Aniyim always wait for Mikra Megillah. Oh, that's when everyone's giving tzedakah. That's when they're going to be able to collect the money. So once we mentioned Matanos Levyonim, says Maratani Rav Yosef, Mishloach Manos Yisro L'Re'ehu. Let's discuss some of the mitzvos Hayom of Purim. Pasuk says they should send manos ishlerei ehu, portions of food to each other. What does it mean, portions of food, plural? Shtei manos liish echad. They have to send two portions of food to one person. There is no truth to the rumor that one has to send two brachos to the same person. They have to send two portions of food. There's actually a discussion in Poskim that maybe even two slices or two portions of the same food. That doesn't even have to be two different types of food, but generally speaking, we Poskim, it should be two different types of food, because who's to determine what a portion really is? So we always send two types of food, but that counts as mishloach manos. Matanos levyonim shtei matanos l'shnei bnei adam. Matanos levyonim means you send two matanos to l'shnei bnei adam, to two different people. That's matanos levyonim. Shtei matanos l'shnei bnei adam. The Ran writes that mishloach manos, since it's for ashirim, you're giving it not to poor people, you have to give two manos, because you have to give something that's chashuv for someone who's an ashir. To give only one mana wouldn't be chashuv in their eyes, wouldn't be meaningful to them. But Matanos Evyonim, the Evyon is happy to get whatever he can, whatever he can scrounge up. Right? If you have an Evyon, he's not going to say, don't give me change, I only want dollar bills. That'd be ridiculous. So you have an Evyon, he's gonna take whatever he can possibly get. So that's why Matana Achas is going to be considered a davar gadol for an Evyon. The Marsha says exactly the opposite. He says, no. Mishloach manos, you have to give shtei manos, because manos are mash mashma even a mana kolshu. You're giving a very tiny amount. A mana is a very small thing. And that's why you have to give two of them, because it's so small, in order to make it a davar chashuv, you need two. Matanos implies something bigger. A matana implies something that's already chashuv. So you don't have to give two matanos, you give just one matana. So anyway, that's the mitzvah. Mishloach manos is two manos for one person. Matanos of Yonim is two matanos to two separate people, one matana for each of the people. Rabbi Yudin is here, Shadle Rabbi Ushia, Itma de Igla Tilta, Vigarba de Chamna. He sent Rabbi Ushia a third born calf, piece of meat from a third born calf, and a jug of wine, a barrel of wine. So Shalach Leh, he sent back to him, Kiyamta Banu Rabbeinu, Umishloach Manos Ishlere Ehu. You were just Mekayim, the wonderful mitzvah of Mishloach Manos Ishlere Ehu. Whether to be Goris, the words of Matanos Avyonim, is a big discussion over here. The Gra, the Bach, seem to take out the words of Matanos Avyonim, that you were not yet Mekayim Matanos Avyonim. This was a Mekayim of Mishloach Manos. It's just Mishloach Manos, wasn't anything more than Mishloach Manos. Rabba Shadulei, actually before we even go on from that, in the Gemara, it sounds like V'chiv Matanos Avyonim is to give two Matanos, and that sounds like it says that V'chiv is to give two Matanos to two separate people. In the Aruch HaShulchan, Tafresh Sadi Dal Tzifes, he says, let's say you give a Matana to Ish V'Ishto. You give a nice big matana that they could split, or to a father and a son. In order that it should be two matanas, and you want to be mekayim the chiv matanas of yonim to two separate of yonim by giving to a poor couple. Couple is two people; it's a husband and wife, or a father and a son. So is that good enough? So he says, no, you're only yotze evyon echad. Because anyone who's somech on the same shulchan, anyone who relies on the same table, who eats from the same table, is all considered evyon echad. But in the Tshuva's Binyan Olam, he says that even though we don't find this in poskim, but it seems that you would be yotzei the chiyuv of beis matanos when you give to aviv or to avu bno or to ish v'ishto, because if you wanted, you could have given to one of them dafka, and the other one would not have had any obligation to share it with the spouse or to share it with the child. And therefore, when you specifically give to both of them, you really are giving to a second person that otherwise would not have gotten. The husband, for example, he's mechuyav to be mefarnes his wife, but not with money of tzedakah that he receives. When ani is mekabel tzedakah, doesn't have to give it to pay off chovos. Meaning, a husband's obligation to support his wife is like a chov. It's like if he owes money to somebody. So when an ani gets tzedakah, he doesn't have to use that to pay his chovos before he uses it to feed himself. So he could use it to just feed himself. He doesn't have to share it. So therefore, the husband would have no obligation to give it to the wife. And also with the wife, even though an isha is not chayiv even the woman is not chayiv to give it to the husband, even though normally mashkani isha kana baila. Because even if you give her money al manas that the husband doesn't have rishus behem, you can give her the money without giving it to the husband. So the mitzvah matanos and aside from that, mitzvah matanos of yonim isn't totally in a kinyan. She didn't have to make a kinyan on it for it to be matanos of yonim. You just have to make it accessible to her, so she can definitely keep it all for herself once it's accessible. She doesn't have to make a ma'aseh kinyan. She doesn't have to have any das to be kone it. Once it's accessible to her, you're ready mekayim your mitzvah. So therefore he thinks that one can be mekayim giving to two people by giving to a husband and a wife. And the Bidin Olam says, and that explains our sugya. Rabbi Yudin Nasiya sent to Rabbi Oshia this animal and wine, and he sent back, you are mekayim mitzvah mishloach manos, and he's goreis and matanos levyonim. What's the chiddush? It's pashut that he's mekayim mitzvah of with such chashuv and matanos. He gave the best meat and the best wine. What's the chiddush that he's mekayim mitzvahs? And furthermore, why does he have to add and matanos levyonim? What's he meaning when he says umatanos levyonim? What's he adding? Obviously, it's matanos levyonim if he's poor. So he says no. Rav Oshia was an ani, and when he sent the Bein Nasiya sent him, he was yotzei mishloach manos also and also matanos levyonim to two separate levyonim because it was for him and Bnei Beso. That's what the Mashra says also, to explain Rav Oshia, that the food that was sent was more than he would have ever needed for Mishloach Manos, so you mekayim separately Mishloach Manos, and also Matanos Avyonim for him and Bnei Beso, because him and Bnei Beso have a status of two separate entities, of two separate people. That's the way he understands the Gemara over here. So the Gemara says, further in the Gemara now, Rabba Shadulei Lemari Barmar V'yad Abaye, Rabbi sent with Abaye as a shliach to Mari Barmar, Melo Taska de Kashva, a bag full of dates, Umali Kasa Kimcha da Avshuna, and a cup full of pasted wheat flour, of roasted wheat flour rather. Amr le Abaye, Hashta Amr Mari, Ichalka Malchlavi, Tikulim Tzavari lo Nachis. He says, I don't know if Mari's going to be so happy with this. And when Mari gets this, he's going to say, look, if a peasant becomes a king, don't you think he takes off his little wicker basket that he used to carry around and will carry more chashuv kli, meaning this is beneath his dignity to have foods like this. Ihu say then sent him a basket full of ginger, umali kasa de palpal taricha, and long peppers. So Amar Abaye, Hashta Amar Mar, Anashadu lechulio viyu shadu lechurfa. So then he said, now he's going to say that I sent him something sweet and he's sending me something back sharp. Amar Abaye, kinafkim beimar, have a savanna. Abaye says, you know, when I left my Rebbe's house, I felt like I was full. I felt satiated. Kimatai lahasam, but when I went there, krivuli shisin sa'i de shisin mini kedera, they brought me 60 plates of 60 types of dishes, va'achlibu shisin plugi, and I had 60 portions, ubishula basraisa avukarulet sili kedar, and the last dish that they served me was called pot roast. I wanted to eat the plate after I ate it. I was so hungry. I didn't realize how hungry I was. That a poor person is starving, he doesn't even realize he's starving. Or it means to say, the lesson is that when good food is in supply, you know, there's always room for jello. There's always room for something good. Abaye Baravin, Rabbi Chanin Baravin, Michlvi Suda Sayu, Ladadi. Abaye Baravin and Rabbi Chanin Baravin used to trade Su'udos with each other. Rashi says it means that one year, this year, he would eat, one would eat by the other one, the next year he would eat back by his house. The Binyan Sion has a tshuva in Simon Mem Dalit, where he makes the suggestion that maybe the reason it's called Mishloach Manos and not Nesinas Manos, like Matanos Levionim, is that maybe there's a hakpada that Mishloach Manos Dafka has to be done al yidei shliach. They have to send through shliach. It can't be yotzei if you give directly. The Mishnah Brura in Tafresh Sadihei, Sivkot Yuches, quotes this Binyan Sion as a possibility that maybe it's kedai la'achmir to only send al yidei shliach. But l'chora, this is a raya. This Gemara is a raya against that. Because how would they mekayim mishloach manos? By having each other over for the Sudas Purim. Stomach, there was no shliach. They were eating at each other's tables. So there's obviously no shliach. In fact, if you look up the Binyan Sion doesn't really say it. What the Binyan Sion says is, he almost says it sarcastically. He says, why do you think it's called mishloach manos? Why, you think you have to send a shliach? That's crazy. That can't be what it is. He says, no, it's called mishloach manos because we paskin like the Ramah, that your job is to send the manos. Whether the person accepts it or not is irrelevant. If the person's mekabel the manos, that's not up to you. That's not your job. Your job is only in the shiluach. It's not to make sure that the other person actually receives it. That's often quoted as a nafkamina between the Tshuvas Hadashin and the Manos Halevi, and the major machlokas, supposed machlokas, about what mishloach manos is all about. That the Tshuvas Hadashin says mishloach manos is to provide su'udas purim, and the Manos Halevi says no, it's just to create a sense of ava, achva, reyus, to create a sense of love and friendship. So it's often quoted as nafkamina, that if you send it and the person doesn't actually take it, he says, you know what, I have so much candy already, just please, I appreciate the gesture, so much, but just take it back, give it to the kids of JEP or something, or whatever one of these organizations that collects candy, I really don't need it. So, were you mekayim the mitzvah mishloach manos? So if it's to provide Sudas Purim, well, you didn't provide Sudas Purim, but like the Tshuvas Hadashin, then it wouldn't work. But if it's just to create a sense of Ava and Achva, so then you did accomplish it. So that on that point, the Binyan Sion says that all you need to do is to be Shalech. Rav Asher Weiss often points out that people quote that as a Machlokas, Tshuvas Hadashin, Manos Halevi. If you ever learn anything else in Manos Halevi, you'll know that the Manos Halevi is not a Halacha Sefer. And nothing in the Manos Halevi is meant to be taken La Halacha. It's called, the actual full title of the Sefer is Medrash Manos Halevi. It's Drush on the Megillah. Rav Asher Weiss says, you know, if the Manos Halevi would be the most surprised person in the world if you told him that he was arguing on the Tshuvas Hadashin. He had no, he was not trying to get involved in any sort of machlokas. Anyway, Amar Rava. So Rava tells us one of the more famous lines of the Masechta Mechayevin, Shluvasumi Puri Adelei Adab Ein Oram Haman Lebaruch Mordechai. A person is supposed to become intoxicated on Purim until he doesn't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Marsha says, so he doesn't know the difference between a Tzadik Gamur and a Rasha Gamur. Tosov here quotes that the Yerushalmi has a different girsa, that it's Arura Zeresh Brucha Esther, Arura Mikala Rasham Bruchim Kala Yehudim. And it's not just about Haman and Mordechai per se that we're talking about. There are several interpretations of what this means. The Ran says that based on Yerushalmi, that they would have to say on Purim Aram Baruch Mordechai, and they would drink and continue to get drunk until they couldn't, until you couldn't understand what the person was saying. The Meiri quotes from Gedolei Mechabrim that they used to drink until they would fall asleep, and once they fall asleep, then they don't know the difference between Aram and Baruch Mordechai. The Rama writes like that. The Rama says V'yirdom, that a person should go to sleep a little bit, and then when you go to sleep a little bit, you won't know the difference between Aram and Baruch Mordechai. In the Eshkol, he says no. You have to understand the context of when this was said. There used to be a song, this complicated song, where every stanza would end with either Ar Haman or Baruch Mordechai. It was like a Lebedik Purim song, and each stanza ended with a different phrase, with either Ar Haman or Baruch Mordechai. So that's what it means. Adlei Adbein Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai is you get confused how to end the stanza. You don't have to be very drunk to get confused in a song like that, how to end each stanza. That's what he says. And many of the other Rishonim, the Aguda, the Abudram, say Ar Haman is Gematria of Baruch Mordechai. So it means you only have to get drunk enough that you can't make the cheshbon of the gematria, that you're not going to be able to do the arithmetic in your head to figure out the gematria. Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira had a sudas purim b'adei adadi. Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira had a sudas purim together. Ivsum, and they got intoxicated. Come Rabbi shechted Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi got up and he shechted Rabbi Zeira. Pash pshat, shechted Rabbi Zeira. Rasha says it wasn't shechita mamish, he embarrassed him, whatever. But pash pshat, he shechted Rabbi Zeira. V'machra by rachmei v'achye. So the next day he davened for him and he did chias amesim. L'shana amalei nesim av nevin sudas purim b'adei adadi. So the next year he said, hey, why don't you come over for sudas purim again? It was so much fun last year. And he said, no, thank you. It's not every year that you can rely on a miracle happening. I think I'll turn down the invitation this year. So he was not interested in coming back again that year. It's interesting. Birkei Yosef has a suffix. If Rabbi Zeira had to be Mekadesh's wife again, if he died and it came back to life, there are two ways to end marriage. One way to end marriage is by getting divorced. The other way to end marriage is by one party dying. So normally when one party dies, you don't have to talk about whether they need to get remarried because there's nothing to talk about. The person's dead. But over here, he was brought back to life. So does he have to do a new Kiddushin after Techias HaMesim? Maybe the Kiddushin is Nifka as soon as he dies and they require a new Kiddushin. Or do you say, no, so long as he's not buried, the Kiddushin didn't leave. So he quotes from Yerushalmi and Gittin that someone who's Mechaya, someone else, Ali Deinais, the person who comes alive, Ali Deinais, does not require a new Kiddushin because he was not yet buried. The Ben Yoyada brings a riot from the fact that the Gemara in Shabbos says that at the time of Matan Torah, Parcha Nishmasun Shal Yisrael, that all of Klal Yisrael's neshamos left them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought out the special dew of Tchias HaMesim, and that brought back all the neshamos. And we don't find that they had to do a new Kiddushin after Matan Torah. So that's the raya that they bring. It's an interesting discussion in Birkei Yosef and Ibn Ezer in Simin Tov, Simin 17, Tov, 12 days. So, Amar Rava, Sudas Purim Sha'akla B'layla. By the way, Rabbeinu Ephraim says the reason this story is put right after the line of Chayav Inishal Vesumei is to tell you that we don't pass on the Chayav Inishal Vesumei. It's Dafka put there to tell you, and look what happens if you listen to Chayav Inishal Vesumei. You end up shechting somebody. So it's a cautionary tale that the Gemara is telling us. Amar Rava, Sudas Purim Sha'akla B'layla Yatsi Dechavas. A person needs Sudas Purim at night, he's not Yatsi Yitzchiv at all. It's not a nighttime mitzvah, my time. You may mishta v'simcha. If it says you may mishta v'simcha, so it's not supposed to be at nighttime. Ravashi have Yosef Kamei, Nagav Alas Rabban. Ravashi was sitting Kamei de Rav Kahana, or whoever the gears is, and the Rabban didn't come. Amalei, my time Alas Rabban, why aren't the Rabban here? Amalei, Dimla Tridi B'Sudas Purim. He said, maybe they're having Sudas Purim. Amalei, V'lava Efshel Michla Burta, couldn't they have eaten it at night? Amalei, V'Shmielei Lamar, Hadam Rabba Sudas Purim, Shachal Lele Yasidei Chavaso, don't you know Sudas Purim, you cannot be Yotze at night? Amalei, in Tanamine, Arban Zimnin, V'damilei, Kamanda Malach Bekisei. So he chazed it over 40 times, and it became like something that he knew very well. Once he chazed it over 40 times, Maraz Chayes points out that the Gemara Mesech Bamitzia And elsewhere tells us that you have to be chazer, you have to chazer your learning 101 times. The name of the Dhamma is someone who learns something 100 times, 101 times. Why did he only learn it 100 times? So he says, yeah, 101 times would be perfect. 40 times is manach bikise. That's enough to at least put it in your pocket, that you have that amount of learning in your pocket. So in the Gemara, it's pretty clear that Tzudas Purim is not done at night. Tzudas Purim is only during the day. So the Turiyevin raises the question, so why is the Isra of Avelis and Hesped, which is also learned out from the same pasuk, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, why is that an Isra that applies at night as well? And we find a lot of times that Laila Zizman Simcha, even the Chiyuv Su'uda, is during the day. The Mordechai quotes that Rav Yosef says that Lel Purim V'Yomo is like Lel Shabbos V'Yomo. So he says a little different. What does it mean? That which we say, you're not Yotze Yuchiyuv, it means that it's not sufficient to have Sudas Purim B'Laila. You also need Sudas Purim B'Yom, but there is still a Sudas Purim B'Laila. The Ramah paskins like the Rishonim that even Belaila you should be marba v'suda a little bit. You should have some little extra sudas purim at night as well. And the idea would be that the ikr suda is during the daytime, but the secondary suda, that very much connects to Shabbos. By Shabbos, the Gemara says, kavod yom and kavod laila, kavod yom adif, that you have to have a suda Shabbos at night, you have to have suda Shabbos during the day, but if you have an option of which one to make more kavodik, which one you should have your favorite dessert at, which one you should set the nice silverware at, so kavod yom adif, the daytime one, is the one that wins. So Sudas Purim would be similar to that, according to those Rishonim. Okay, ein bein yom tov l'Shabbos l'ochel nefesh b'vlad. There's no difference in yom tov and Shabbos except for ochel nefesh, except for the on Shabbos you're not allowed to do melachos of ochel nefesh. On yom tov one is allowed to do melachos of ochel nefesh. The Tosfos points out there are other differences also. On yantiv, if you're mechalal yantiv, you violated a lav, but it's only a lav. If you're mechalal Shabbos, you chayv skila. So isn't that a difference? Tells us, no, we're talking about behaviors, how you should behave on Yom Tov and Shabbos. There's no difference in terms of what you are and are not allowed to do other than Ochel Nefesh. In terms of punishment, in Echinami, there are other differences. So says Gemara, wait a second, only Ochel Nefesh is a difference? Hali Inyan Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, Zev Zeshav, and that implies that when it comes to Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, they're the same. When it comes to preparatory acts of Ochel Nefesh, that they'd be the same. So, meaning that you will be asr on Yom Tov just like on Shabbos. Masnisa to look Rabbi Yehuda. Then our mission is going against Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya ain't been Yom Tov the Shabbos el ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda matyav machshirei ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda thinks you're even allowed to do machshirei ochel nefesh on Yom Tov. My time in Tanakama. Why does Tanakama think you're not allowed to do machshirei ochel nefesh? Amar Kra, who the la machshir? The pasuk says who? Which pasuk? The pasuk that says that kol melach lo ye osev ahem ach asher ye echol ochel nefesh. Who livado ye aser lachem? That only that which is yechel chol nefesh, only that which is ochel nefesh. Who you could do, which means only it, but not its machshirim. Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, you're looking at the wrong word of the pasuk. Pasuk says, who livado ye aser lachem? Lachem means lachol tarchechem. V'idach nami yaksev lachem. What does the Tanakhama do with the word lachem? Lachem below of the chavim. He uses it to darshan, but it's lachem below of the chavim, that you're not allowed to do ochel nefesh malachos for the sake of gayim. That's why Shulchan Aruch paskins that one is not allowed to invite a non-Jew to their yom tov meal. Very often, that's when people decide to invite a non-Jew. Always at yantif, that it's seder, let them see you seder, he's curious, whatever. Or someone's intermarried, and they invite the couple, and they invite the non-Jew also. The worst time, halacha is you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew to a yantif meal, kzera shemi yarba bishvilo. We're afraid you're going to make some extra food for that person. But when it comes to Shabbos, you are allowed to invite a non-Jew because you're not cooking anyway. But specifically on Yom Tov, when you're cooking, we're afraid you might cook for the non-Jew and you're not allowed to. Lachem v'lo l'klavim. Also, you're not allowed to cook special for animals. V'idach nami yaksiv hu. What does the other opinion do with the word hu? How's if you assume that lachem tells you that you're even allowed to do l'chol tzarchechem, you're even allowed to do machshir yachol nefesh. So what do you do with the word hu? So ksiv hu, ksiv lachem. It says both. Kan machshir shav shal asos meir yom tov. Kan machshir shav shal asos meir yom tov. It depends what type of machshir yachol nefesh we're talking about. Machshir yachol nefesh that you could have done before yom tov, that you're not allowed to do on yom tov. But machshir ochel nefesh that you would not have been able to do with equal effectiveness before yantiv, so such machshir ochel nefesh you're allowed to do on yantiv. So it all depends on which type of machshir ochel nefesh is. Okay, we'll stop there at the Mishnah and try to catch up a little bit tomorrow. It's a little bit of a shorter deficit.